It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's Groundhog Day. And this morning, Punxsutawney Phil did not see his shadow, which means we'll have an early spring. That's only happened 18 times over the course of groundhog weather predicting history. The popular Bill Murray film and Pittsburgh's proximity to Punxsutawney always draws headlines for Phil and his Gobbler's Knob troupe each year. But do you know the origins of the tradition? Who was the first to celebrate? And why did they designate a woodland rodent to act as their part-time meteorologist? I'm joined now by phone by Patrick Dunmoyer. He's site manager at the Pennsylvania German Cultural Heritage Center in Kutztown at Kutztown University, and he says the event has a lot to do with the Commonwealth's German history. He joins us now. Patrick Dunmoyer, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul, and happy Groundhog Day.
And happy Groundhog Day to you, and I'm glad to see you're not saying Groundhog's Day. It's not possessive.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not plural.
No, it's not.
It's Groundhog Day, and we know who the chief groundhog is, don't we?
Well, yeah, it depends on who you ask, though, because every little community in Pennsylvania has their own groundhog that they listen to. Of course, there are also groundhogs all across the United States, everywhere from the Midwest to the South, as well as in Ontario and Nova Scotia. So every area has their own that they listen to.
You know, I think I'm going to listen to Punxsutawney Phil over some groundhog in Nova Scotia, for crying out loud.
I listen to a groundhog actually that's over in Orrfield in Lehigh County, Pennsylvania, known as Yachty, and he's on the Jordan Creek, or the Yadengrik, as they say in the local dialect. And this year he says that we're going to have 5 more weeks of winter weather. He did see his shadow, and he says, though, that 6th week it's going to start to warm up and get a little bit more spring-like.
That's a more detailed forecast, and clearly there's controversy. We have groundhogs disagreeing, and who knew that there were more than one? I mean, I know that there are these, you know, groundhogs in other parts of the country, but most people, and I know this from having lived in other places, they defer to us, don't they, Patrick?
Yeah, in general, and that has to do with the role that Punxsutawney has really, played in creating a national sensation out of something that used to be very much a localized phenomenon. People used to do this and not just gather in large celebrations, but do this and actually observe the animal. We believe that really it was the 18th century German immigrants coming to Pennsylvania who superimposed their beliefs surrounding the badger in Europe. They superimposed that onto the groundhog in Pennsylvania because there were no badgers in southeastern Pennsylvania where they were settling.
Well, that answers the question of why the groundhog, right?
Well, there's a lot of answers to that. And one of the interesting things is, you know, we have very scant records about this, so we don't know when this transfer took place. The earliest known record for Groundhog Day having been written down and recorded as of the time that Dr. Don Yoder wrote his Groundhog Day book, he cites a diary, a private diary kept by a storekeeper in Morgantown, Pennsylvania in 1840, saying, "Today the Germans say the groundhog comes out of his winter quarters, and if he sees his shadow, he returns and remains there for 40 days. And then he goes on to say, well, we did this when we were kids, so it must have been much earlier than 1840. So it points to the 18th century. And that's really kind of where we are in the North American climate. In southeastern Pennsylvania, we don't have badgers to look at. So in Europe, it was the badger that was the weather prophet.
Yeah, they might be happy about that in Wisconsin, but here in Pennsylvania, only a groundhog will do. And from what I understand, Patrick, the initial Groundhog Day celebrations in these parts were less about observing the groundhog than partaking in a groundhog entree, if you will?
Some of them were. Yeah, I understand that the first real gathering that they had in Punxsutawney, they actually were eating groundhog. And groundhog was a staple part of the rural diet in Pennsylvania for many poorer, lower-income families. It doesn't necessarily mean that people who had a little bit more financial ability didn't also partake. Groundhog was considered delicious. And in the late 19th century, recipes circulated in Pennsylvania newspapers for how to properly prepare groundhog, because groundhogs are, of course, vegetarians. They're believed to be very clean meat. And they're also something that can be cooked to resemble other things. You can put it into other dishes, and some people may not even know what they're eating.
Well, we looked it up this morning because we were so anxious about this conversation, and and thinking this was going to come up. And let me know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but because I've never eaten groundhog, to my knowledge. But apparently it tastes like chicken or pork. Does that sound right to you?
Kind of a mixture of the two. It does have a little bit of a greasier finish depending on how it's done. Some people, will roast it. There's a number of different ways you can brine it. But it really depends who's doing the cooking. There are a lot of different recipes for this. Some people add it to pot pie. Some people will just serve it as meat, standing by itself. So there's a lot of different ways to do it, but I have heard both of those things. I have heard some people compare it to chicken, and that's the normal thing that most people would, compare something to if they don't have another standard of comparison. So chicken's kind of the normal response.
I think I'm going to have to find myself some groundhog pot pie. I think that sounds quite interesting. We're talking,
Agreed.
And who knew that groundhogs were vegetarians? So they're just running around eating those plants or whatever's, growing underneath the ground, I suppose.
Well, they eat primarily, in this area, they eat everybody's gardens. But aside from that, they're known to forage very, very healthy plants for themselves. And so they really are the experts when it comes to locating and finding all of the best greens to eat out there. I notice in the garden that we have here at Kutztown University at our Pennsylvania German Cultural Heritage Center, where we grow heirloom plants, they will go by and sample a little bit of everything. And so they're very, very picky eaters, and that's part of why people are okay with the idea of eating them. The funny thing is, though, this tradition here in Pennsylvania, of course, has this European, precedent. I don't know anything about whether or not people actually ate badger in Europe, so that's a question for somebody else. But the badger was really the weather prophet coming out of Europe, and people used to use badger grease as medicine. They used badger paws as amulets to protect infants and children, believing it would avoid calamity and bring good luck. They used badger teeth to protect from hail and storms and other natural disasters. So the badger has a long-standing mythology around it, and we're not really sure how much of that was actually transferred to the groundhog in early Pennsylvania, because very little of this kind of stuff has been written down. We do know, however, that groundhog grease has been used as medicine here in PA, and I know a man who lives maybe 2 miles from where I'm sitting right now who prepares it every year.
Interesting. We're talking with Patrick Dunmoyer, who is site manager at the Pennsylvania German Cultural Heritage Center at Kutztown University. And Patrick, I was in a local coffee shop in my neighborhood here on the south side of Pittsburgh, and I was overhearing a conversation with the local pastor who was saying he was having a problem with groundhogs in his garage. Are groundhogs, I mean, does that sound like something a groundhog would do, just hang out in somebody's garage as opposed to being, outdoors frolicking?
Well, groundhogs are opportunists, and they will tend to burrow under the edges of foundations, under the edges of buildings. They'll find some of the most inconvenient places for people in many respects to set up their homes. But they're very much opportunists in the sense that they'll find a space that maybe is going to be easier to dig out. They'll create networks of tunnels. Here at the farm where I work at the Heritage Center at Kutztown, we have them getting into agricultural buildings, barns. So I wouldn't be surprised if I heard of people getting them into their garages too. They kind of tap underneath a lot of foundations, and they can cause structural instability. So you got to watch out. You should tell that individual that he should definitely try to find a way to relocate or remove those groundhogs so it doesn't cause problems in his garage.
And as far as, you never want to approach a wild animal, but what is the temperament of a groundhog? Are they generally amiable, or what's the deal?
Oh, they are incredibly feisty. If you don't pose a threat to them, they can be very mild-mannered and just, run away. If they're caught when they're young, they can be affectionate like cats, I've heard some people say, that you can tame them very easily. But if they're wild and they reach adulthood in the wild, you can see them face off much larger animals. When I was a kid, I worked on a farm, and I saw a groundhog and a Rottweiler go at it. And that groundhog and that Rottweiler had a face-off for a long time. And believe it or not, the Rottweiler did have the upper hand and did win eventually. But that groundhog fought for a long, long time. So they are feisty creatures.
Feisty fellows. All right, we're down to just a few seconds here. But
Sure.
How do Germans in Pennsylvania celebrate now Groundhog Day? About 20 seconds.
Well, it's interesting because the tradition has not really continued as much over there. It's more continued here in Pennsylvania as a language preservation movement. Aside from all of the activities of Punxsutawney, we have 8 total groundhog lodges in Pennsylvania that serve as beacons of language and cultural preservation here in PA, and they gather to hear weather prophecy, eat Pennsylvania Dutch food, and they take an oath for the year of the groundhog. They're men's fraternal organizations. And the one that I'm actually the secretary of, it's the oldest groundhog lodge in Pennsylvania. Groundhog Lodge number 1 was organized in 1933, and it took 4 years off during World War II, but it's actually going to be celebrating its 80th anniversary today.
Incredible.
And all of our activities are taking place in the Pennsylvania Dutch dialect.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot going on. Patrick Dunmoyer, site manager for the Pennsylvania German Cultural Heritage Center at Kutztown University, talking about Groundhog Day. Happy Groundhog Day, everyone. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.